MYK Tekken Time. Now, you might be surprised that I sound a little bit different, maybe a little more heterosexual than usual, but today, this is actually not MYK speaking. This is none other than Eris, and you're not listening to MYK's Tekken Time. You're listening to Eris's West Coast Underwater Electric Underground Armenian Tekken Hour, and today's guest is none other than the West Coast legend, MYK. What's up, Mike?
Nothing much, Eris. What's up, man?
Everything's going good, man. All right, let's get down to business. I got a few questions for you here. Right. First of all, why don't you give our listeners a good, you know, a brief history about your background as a Tekken player, when you started, and some of your biggest accomplishments, the stuff you're really proud of.
All right. I started Tekken, I believe, right out of high school. I used to skateboard a lot, but then I just recently had an ankle injury. So obviously I couldn't even walk around, so all I was doing was sitting at home, not doing anything. So I started picking up a Third Strike with my friends, hit up the arcade, and then I saw Tekken there. And then I was like, oh, I remember Tekken when I was 10 years old. I played Tekken 3 and messed around in that game. So, you know, I just started playing Tekken DR. That's where I first started. It was a couple months, like, it was like 4 or 5 months after, like, DR already came out. And then just played that. And then, yeah, pretty much went from there. Met up with some of the top players like Kane and Rip and, you know, like Suikin back in the day, like you heard in Suikin's podcast. Right. Yeah, so we had that whole thing going on. I played them. And then it wasn't until EVO 2006. Yeah, 2006. I just happened to be in Vegas with family there. And then I found out that EVO was in Vegas during the same weekend I was there. So I was like, I asked my parents if they could drop me off. And I just had this whole eye-opening experience to this whole new gaming world that I never even knew about.
Yeah.
And then
definitely EVO is my big favorite. Every year I love that EVO.
Yeah, EVO is crazy. I mean, just seeing a room full of guys with sticks and all that, you know, here for video games, that was out of control. And
yeah,
I think Filthy just got done playing Reinhardt or something, and then everyone was trying to like get in with some casuals with him while I was sitting there for like an hour and a half just trying to get a game in, and the Rich is finally like, yo, hold on, this kid's been waiting here for like an hour and a half, let him. And then after that I just seeked him out, asked for some guidance, and then here I am now.
So let's, like, who are your big inspirations? Who are the players that really inspire or still inspire you, the big names that really make you give you the drive to get better?
You know, I used to look up to a lot of the Korean players back in the day, and also a lot of the Japanese DR players. Obviously, there's a couple of local players that I really looked up to as well. Like, there was obviously Filthy, Kane. That guy used to beat me down and made me want to quit. yeah, I mean, me and Suikin, I didn't really look up to him, but, you know, he and I had like...
Yeah, who does, right?
He and I had this big rivalry, like we said. I used to look up to Nii, Nin, Kudans.
A lot of good players out there.
Sho from Japan, really turtley style. And I the first time I saw that guy play, I was like, what is this guy doing? But this is so hilarious how everything works, and it's so genius.
Just
like those guys, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you know, speaking of looking up to players, these days you've become really like the center of attention for a lot of these new up and coming players, because you have your website, you're trying to go out of your way to teach people how to play. And, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about new players, and not just new players, because I don't really give a shit about them, but players that have been playing for a while, but they're looking to maybe get their game to the next level. Maybe, you know, they're missing something in their game. What kind of tips do you have for a player who pretty much knows the game, understands frame data, you know, figure, you know, knows the combos and everything, but
they
there's something
the
missing
wall
from their game. You know, like let's say, let me give you an analogy here. Let's say you own a gym in Pasadena, right? And this gym, you're a coach in this gym, and all you do is train players. Now, every day when they walk in to train, they need to practice on their footwork, whatever, you know, like throw breaking. You know, you can understand the analogy here. Now, what would you suggest for a new player or an existing player with some experience? What do you suggest they do to kind of take their tournament success to that next level? What kind of training and stuff like that do they need to go through?
What kind of training? That's kind of interesting because what I used to do back in the day was just play hours on end against Filthy and then try to see what was going on. And every time I would drive home after one of his sessions, it's like a 45-minute drive from where I used to live and where he used to live. Every time I drive home, I would just think about what went wrong. Well, what should I have done? Like, why did I lose so many games? You know, stuff like that. And I was just like really analyzing like where I can improve on. And it wasn't that like I have to throw out a random launcher here and hopefully I get lucky. It wasn't anything like that. It was more of a I had to like really like get deep down into it and then understand that I was whiffing here and there. I was throwing out a Sonic Fang back in DR where Heihachi gets a free twin pistons. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, this matchup, I really can't use that move against this character or I'm going to lose half my life.
Yeah.
I have to play it really safe. So I thought of a lot of situations and like, what's the safest options in those situations?
Yeah.
I mean, like the thing I like to do a lot is kill two birds with one stone. I mean, if I could find one option that covers more than one area and it gives me like a better, you know, overall outcome in the end, I would usually like look for those type of moves or those type
now,
of
now elaborate on that a little bit. Do you mean like, let's say for example, a mid that tracks, or do you mean something more philosophical? What do you mean by covering two options?
I guess like maybe, all right, I'll just reveal it now because like I just recently came up with this new Lars setup, I guess.
Okay.
Oki setup, like I think. Okay. I was telling you about it. And then okay. The thing about this setup is that if Lars does, let's say he does forward 1+2, that's the, you know, electric mid launcher thing.
Right.
He does that and then his staple combo and then ends the and does the bind. If he does a sidestep right, down back 2, hold forward SE3. Mm-hmm. If they back roll in that situation, my dynamic entry 1 is gonna catch back rollers and I get a full bind combo again.
Okay.
So that back roll option is already covered.
Right.
If they tech roll, the DE1 actually goes past them, and then I'm left back turn while they're tech rolling. So I'm still at slight advantage, and I could get a free 50-50 back turn throw mix-up.
I see.
So
okay, so what you meant by covering multiple options is you try and put yourself in a scenario where you have one option that can cover many things, like a side roll, tech roll, back roll, you know, so you don't have to guess. You can use one thing that covers many situations. That's what you were talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, even like Steve at the wall as well. I mean, I guess like if they, because like his main Oki that I use is after a wall combo, I will go instantly into a peekaboo and then do a peekaboo down 1, which will hit them grounded. And
right.
If they tech, either way they tech, it's still going to hit them. Mm-hmm. They still have to block it right when they're tech rolling. And it's only minus 11, so it's still a pretty safe option to go.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, okay. I see where you're coming from. Now, on the same topic of this gym practice training type of thing, what about things like practicing, you know, Korean backdashing, wave dashing, getting your electrics down? Or maybe things like, you know, special steps, Hayashida steps, or even throw breaking. Would you recommend that new players or maybe existing players literally sit down and practice these things, like in the same vein of doing 100 push-ups every night before you go to sleep?
Yeah.
I mean, you would suggest that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was listening to one of Justin Wong's interviews, and then, you know, he's like one of the top Street Fighter 4 players, the best in the country.
Right.
And then the way he explained how he did combos, like why he was so efficient and consistent at doing combos is because he would literally sit in practice mode and then do it 100 times in a row, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty ridiculous, but that's the way it goes, you know?
Yeah,
I mean
100, you know, do the combo 100 times, and it's the same thing as doing, like, 500 push-ups, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like, you know, just once. You know, you have to stay on top of your game, and just like you know, exercise and stuff like that. If you don't do it, muscles go away, and you know, you slow down. So you kind of gotta stay sharp and stay on top of that. And yeah, that's definitely good advice for a lot of people out there. Any other in terms of training, throw breaks, anything else?
I was still gonna mention that. I think new players overlook a lot of the fundamentals. I mean. Mm-hmm. From what I see from new players is they always try to, you know, learn launchers and do the combo and wall spacing, and that's the easy stuff. That's kind of what makes Tekken fun, you know? But to me, what makes Tekken fun is, like, the mind games behind it, and then, like, trying to think what your opponent's thinking, and then thinking a step ahead. You know, that's the stuff that's fun. I mean, these guys don't really spend hours in practice mode trying to break throws where... Yeah. I used to do that, and then look at me. I could say I'm pretty consistent at breaking throws in tournaments. So
yeah, absolutely, you are. I mean, it's clear to me that, you know, the allure of Tekken is to just pick it up and play and do those cool looking moves and shit. But you know, yeah, it's really important. I agree with you. It's really important to get that stuff taken care of before you move on to all the fancy setups and all that bogus stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really important. All right, let's move into, I want to talk to you about your opinion of the top five characters in this game. Now, this kind of goes up and down for me here and there. I want to talk about the top five characters and the bottom three. So let's talk about the top five.
Top five. Obviously, I think Lars is up there. Lily, Law, those are easy ones. I think Bob's up there.
Okay.
Number five, I might say Steve or Lee. You know, it's like close tie in my opinion. Somewhere.
Lee, okay. Yeah. All right. And you want to elaborate on that Lee a little bit?
Oh, man. Lee is just ridiculous. I mean, I was looking at him a couple of his things, and I've been messing around with him. You know, he's a really solid character. I mean, he doesn't really have a 12-frame punisher or a 13-frame punisher that knocks down or something really powerful or anything like that, but... Mm-hmm. For minus 10, he has 1-2-4, which does 30 damage, which is like slightly above average for a jab punisher.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
He has, I believe it's 11 to 12 frames. I'm not exactly sure. I believe it's 11 frames for Lee. His 4-3 does 32 damage, if I remember correctly. And then, you know, it's pretty solid damage, slightly more than 1-2-4. And for minus 14, he has 4-2-1 knockdown, hit confirmable, and 15, he gets a launcher. And the thing about Lee as well is that his full crouch punishers are really strong as well. He has a, you know, if minus 10 from full crouch, he has a while standing 3-3, which does pretty good damage.
Minus 10?
Minus 10.
Wow.
Yes.
That's abnormal. That's very good.
Yeah, that's definitely like better than a crouching jab for minus 10 punishers.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So you're telling me that he can punish Lay's, what is it, 4-4-2?
Yeah.
He could punish Lay's 4-4-2 with that? Holy shit, that's really good.
He could punish Brian's 4-4-4 as well.
Holy shit, I did not know that. That is really impressive. Okay, go on.
Yeah, so he has that, minus 11, nothing special. He could still do wall standing 3-3 is stronger. Yeah. And he has a wall standing 4 for minus 11. Okay. Minus 14, he has a while standing 2-3 that combos into a 4-4-3 in the open or a full ridiculous half-life combo at the wall.
Yeah.
And then the range on while standing 2-3 is ridiculous as well. Yeah, so his 14-frame while standing punisher isn't bad. And for 15, he has a full crouch up 4-4, which is that stupid, you know, flip kick like Law has.
Yeah.
But if you do up 4-4... you could still get a hop kick out in 15 frames.
Really?
Yeah, his hop knee or whatever you call it. So.
Huh, that's interesting.
So in my opinion, his punishers are really strong. His keep out game, in my opinion, is almost as strong as Steve's. If not, you know, like give or take, it could be stronger in certain things than Steve. Like.
Does he have a back one equivalent? That type of move?
He has a magic 4, which does great damage.
So. Yeah, I see. Okay.
And, you know, obviously that retarded counter hit 2-2-3 that does like 40%. And it's
I saw that the other day. That is really, really good.
Yeah, so that's really good. His keep out game is good. He has a back 4. It's 20 frames. If you clip something, it has amazing clipping of properties. You could clip anything. Okay. And then for that, you get a half-life combo. And, you know, he has a really good homing move, too, that also combos on counter hit.
Okay. No, I mean, you mentioned Lars, Steve, Bob, and Law. Now, you're maining Lars. Do you feel like Lars has any major weaknesses? I mean, we pretty much have gone over, you know, everyone pretty much sees the strengths in that character. But do you feel like this character has any weaknesses?
You know, a lot of people say Lars's main weaknesses is his lows. But I'm like, you know, I think his lows are just unique, you know?
Yeah, you know, you've mentioned that to me before, and I don't know what the fuck that's about. I mean, what other low do you need other than forward, forward, 4-3? People, okay, here's the thing I have to say about that. People that say, oh, if it's, you know, blocked, you get launched for it. Yeah, but if you ask some great players from the past, great Tekken players, mm-hmm. they would say, well, just do it when it's going to hit. And that sounds ridiculous, but, you know, you can really make sure that these lows hit, because if you're really sharp and if you're really good and your Yomi layers are really thick, you can anticipate that this person is definitely not going to block this, and that low is unseeable. So, I mean, it's a fast, unseeable low. So, I mean, I don't know what that's all about, but that is a great low.
Yeah, it's a... I mean, I've been looking at all the low, like, sweep damages in this game. It's mostly around, like, 40 damage, and Lars's 4-4-4-3 does exactly 40, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a solid low, and he has a few other ones that, just to throw in there, that are also very hard to see, so I don't know. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a good weakness to me, but...
Yeah.
What about Steve or Bob? You feel like they have any glaring weaknesses?
Well, before I like move on from Lars, one mm-hmm. thing I did think that he's kind of weak from, I mean, his keep out game, it's mostly, in my opinion, it's mostly back one or down back 2-1 or up forward three to be up forward three to be super risky.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you know, he has a 1-1-1 string, mm-hmm. and if that move was at least a natural counter hit combo, his keep out game, in my opinion, would be so much better. But
I see. Okay, so you feel like he can be rushed down?
Yeah, he could sometimes be rushed. I mean, it's kind of hard to get in with that huge back one range, and it's a yeah. homing move as well. But once you stay really close to him, in my opinion, he could, you know, a lot of times, a lot of large players, from what I see, they resort to up 4-3. So mm-hmm. it's not, you yeah. know, a lot of times smart players will try to bait that move and, you know, kill you off, you know.
Yeah, interesting. Wow, I didn't think about that. Okay. Now, what about some of the bottom characters of the game? The bottom three. Who do you think is terrible in this game?
Terrible. Hold on one second. Let me turn on my PSP and look at the characters.
Oh, boy. What a fag, dude. You always keep that thing right next to you, huh? Quick draw PSP.
All right, one second. Let me look at this. Bottom three.
Jesus Christ. Gotta sit here and wait for you, huh? All right.
And I think Yoshi's down there.
Okay, yeah, that I can agree with you on.
Yeah, Yoshi's down there. Who else?
How about Marta, Kuma? What do you think about, or Asuka, or Raven? I mean, these are just characters that come to my mind as not the strongest.
Asuka might be bottom three as well. Kuma and Marduk, I mean, they're really big characters, so they could get like really messed up at the wall and like
yeah.
grounded hits and stuff like that. But I don't know, Kuma and Marduk, I think Marduk might be bottom three, but I think Kuma's like at least like around like bottom 10 area, somewhere around.
I see. Okay. All right. Now let's move into some matchup discussion. Now, I want to know, you play mostly as mains. You play Lars, Steve, and Bob. That's what I've noticed, in tournaments at least. And I want to know, who do you feel like those characters are the worst against? Like, you know, hard matchups for these characters. Now, these are some of the best characters in the game. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, they're going to be really good against a lot of characters. But do you feel like they have any matchup issues?
Steve, I think his worst matchup could be probably Law.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
And why is that?
Just because Law can punish everything pretty consistently and pretty damagingly against Steve. Damagingly is even a word.
I'll allow it.
But yeah, I mean, forward two, you know, like those, you know, stepping back, you know, sidestepping here and there, little twitch situations, you know, forward mm-hmm. 4-2. A lot of Steve players do that. And against Law, that's like not even an option because while sending 1-2 and then dash up like or free slide afterwards, that's a chunk of damage for.
So forward 4-2 is minus 13, right?
Yeah, minus 13 and leaves them in full crouch.
I see. Okay, and then I recall Sukin telling me he feels like, and you just yesterday you beat him in grand finals at a local Ranbat tournament, and I recall him telling me that he feels like Steve is the hardest matchup in the game for Lay. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like that's a really hard matchup for Lay?
For Lay, I think Steve could be. I don't think it's a Lay specific thing. I think Steve could just be an asshole to a lot of characters.
Okay. So generally speaking, you would say Steve doesn't have too many bad matchups.
Generally no, but he does have like a couple bad matchups. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then how about Lars? You feel like he has any bad matchups?
Lars. Interesting. I don't know. I don't really think that character has too many bad matchups because, you know, you could play him relatively safe and then his punishers are really strong. So
yeah, he's very versatile. I agree with you on that one. And then how about Bob? You feel like Bob has any, there's any characters that can exploit that character's weaknesses?
All right, like the problem with Bob, in my opinion, is that, you know, like I was telling you about, you kind of have to guess with your pokes, like down forward one tracks to his left and down forward two tracks to his right.
Right.
Or you could use a forward four, which is high, but it is his homing move that does pretty good damage. But other than that, his down 2-1 was kind of like Lars's down back 2-1 now. You know how like the second hit tracks either direction?
Yeah.
In Tekken 6, Bob's down 2-1 used to be just like that. Mm-hmm. But now it isn't. So you can't really use that for tracking anymore either. So any character that has a really good sidestep, like for one, I would say Lily.
Yeah.
Lily could be a nightmare for Bob if you don't, you know, predict every sidestep correctly. Because every time you whiff a poke, she sidestep Matterhorn, then it's like good game, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of characters with good sidestep, just to, you know, let our viewers who or our listeners who don't know about this, which characters are the characters that have exceptional sidesteps in this game?
Obviously Lily, just because the way she stands, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, her upper body is, like, tilted backwards while her front, her lower body is, like, a little more towards the other character. So that character has a really good sidestep. And also the way their body, their frame is while they're doing these special movements, like, Lily kind of tilts her head back even more when she sidesteps.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too.
So her sidestep is exceptionally good. Who else?
Alyssa, I think.
Alyssa, yeah, her the way she stands too is also pretty unique, and the way
very unique,
and the way she, like her whole like head tilts, the way she sidesteps too, she like avoids a lot too.
Yeah, it looks like to me there are a handful of characters in this game that when you sidestep, instead of them leaning forward like most of the male characters do, they lean back, and that creates more space while sidestepping. And those are the characters. I think it's Zafina, Alyssa, Lily. There's a few, just a small handful of characters that do that. And if anyone's curious about that, just, you know, grab your character and sidestep and just take a close look or maybe even pause or record it and watch it in slow motion and look at your character and see what angle they're at. Because, you know, much like Street Fighter, their hitboxes are a huge issue in this game. So, yeah, definitely Bob's weakness is being, you know, good steppers. You might want to look into that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because you're really limiting Bob's options if you have a character that steps even exceptionally well, because he's already pretty bad against like regular steppers. So if
your
character has really good steps too, it makes it really hard.
I see. Okay. Now, what about do you feel like there's any major tournaments coming up that you know it's a really big deal you're really looking forward to or you're going to be traveling to?
Obviously there's a nationals this weekend on Saturday, which is cool. I'm not really liking how they're flying us out on the day of the tournament.
It's kind of weird.
But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing about me in NorCal tournaments is that I never get any sleep and I always do pretty bad. So hopefully I get some sleep for this one. But yeah, Nationals is going to be in San Francisco, and I guess it's going to be a lot of people there or something. So,
well, how do you feel about the way, you know, the qualifiers were selected? I mean, it seemed kind of last minute. I mean, I happened to qualify as well, and I'm not complaining, but it seemed kind of a little more disorganized than previous Nationals. You have any thoughts on that? How you feel about who do you feel like the people that are going to Nationals are actually representing the best in the country?
The way they chose the qualifiers, like how they made people qualify for these tournaments, is kind of random. I mean, there was PAX, Comic Con, Evolution, and then we never even knew that those would be qualifiers. And then I'm sure they didn't even know. They just like pulled it out of their ass last.
Exactly. At the time, we didn't know shit. You know, so it's kind of weird. And some of the people going is just like, yeah, I never heard of them. I'm not saying that they're not good, but they definitely have not put their name out there in a way where you would feel like they deserve to go in any way. And I don't even feel like I necessarily deserve to go. I mean, I didn't really even do anything. I just went to a fucking Comic-Con and won a PlayStation 3, and then boom, I got an email. All right, you're going to National. Like, I'm not complaining, but that's wild. You know, like, where do they get this idea from? So, in that vein, I mean, it seems like the true National for Tekken 6 is really going to be Strong Style, which is coming up in January, right? Any thoughts on that tournament?
Okay, first off, for Strong Style 4, that's going to be a crazy tournament because it's not just going to be Nationals. It's going to be almost like an international tournament.
Right.
Because we have players from Thailand coming out, like Jui and Ryu. Those are pretty strong strong players.
Ryu is fucking good, dude. Yeah. Ultra and shit. I got you.
Fucking uppercut FADC, man.
Yep.
We have some strong Thai players coming out, and also we're having Koreans come out too, like Rain, Prince.
That's what I keep hearing. Prince, dude, that guy's out of control.
Oh, and I think, yeah, and the third Korean that they finally confirmed, I believe, I haven't read the thread, so I'm too lazy to read threads, but I believe I heard it was going to be Tongba Love. So
I don't even know who that is, but it sounds good. Who is that? Tell me who that is.
He used to play in DR as well. He's a Devil Gym player, so.
Wow, okay. All right, so there's international competition going to be a Strong Style, and then there's, from what I hear, there is going to be a shitload of people traveling, like the who in the Tekken community. They're all going to be there, old school, new school, everyone's coming out. People, random Asian guys from the South are putting up videos, fucking people from the East Coast, people from the West. Everyone online is talking shit. Everyone's getting really rowdy, so I'm really excited, you know, and I'm really hoping that a lot of people go to this, because it seems like it's really going to be the real Nationals, or even, as you said, internationals. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it, and I don't know if you are, but yeah, I'm getting amped up.
It's pretty crazy, because I was talking to Fab the other day, and then he was telling me, you know, Naklam, I don't know who he is, but he recently got third place and beat Fighting GM at NEC.
Uh-huh.
And then recently he told me that this guy's going to be coming out too. So it seems he says a lot more people from East Coast seems like they're going to be coming. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. And, you know, like Texas and all these different places that, you know, I never really have gotten a chance to play these guys or even necessarily watch them play. So I'm amped up and, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing all these people come out and seeing these Korean guys come out. And hopefully they're going to get rolled up, because these guys, every time I've watched a Korean come from Korea, like from back in the day, J.R. Lime and all those clowns that came over here. And what was that one fool's name at that NEC? EC4. What was that guy's name?
Kim Bong.
That's him. Kim Bong Min, dude. Oh, gosh. Man, those guys just come over here and take everyone's money. So I'm really hoping that, you know, America can just get their shit together and, you know, just fuck these fools up. Send them back home packing this time around, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe by 6 Tekkens we can finally catch up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I've never really done very well in a NorCal tournament because I'm not going to make any excuses. I've lost to some pretty solid players, but yeah, like this time I'm going to get my rest, you know, sleep up before a tournament.
Every time is a new tournament, man. You gotta learn from the past and not fucking stay up all night hanging out at the gay bar, dude. You gotta get your rest. You know what I mean? Get your rest, dude. And yeah, I'm excited. You know, it should be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So, any other thoughts you have? Any other things you want to talk about? Topics? You know, we really didn't go over everything. I feel like you have to say. So, anything else you want to discuss? Any topics?
I guess we could go back to the characters for a little while.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely very informative. Now, what, any characters you've been interested in recently? Any characters shining, you know, that deserve mention here?
You know, when you were asking me, who I think bottom three are, I mean, I was having a hard time, you know, even, like, thinking it off the top of my head. So,
right.
You know, a lot of characters are really good in this game. Every time, like, I'm finding out, like, more and more characters are, like, they seem so much better than they are, so... That's right.
Yeah. Anyone in specific that you feel like originally you didn't think was very good, but just recently you feel like, oh shit, this guy isn't as bad as I thought?
You know, I think Wang is kind of underrated, if he is.
Yeah.
I think Wang is a pretty solid character. I mean, he does pretty good damage. He has good whiff punishers. He has solid pokes to annoy you for days.
Yeah. I've been looking into him recently, and I definitely agree. He probably, if anything, I think him and Roger are probably the most underrated characters in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Wang, I was just looking at him, and then the way he backdashes, too, because he kind of stands similar to how Lily stands, except with his hands down instead of up.
Yeah.
So he has a really good backdash, so that...
Yeah, definitely. I noticed that, too.
That in its own is just really strong. Because if you could just make people whiff and then you'd, like, down forward 2-1 or death fist in for a whiff punisher, that's really good.
For sure.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, like, we've been having a lot of discussion about, like, you know, you don't think Bob's very good or Steve's better. So, you know, I've been kind of going through this, like, whole, like, Steve phase that I always go through.
You're becoming a man. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think that Bob is not very good, but I think that Steve is a better character overall because he doesn't have as many, you know, big weaknesses. It seems like Bob, like you mentioned earlier, he has to, you know, kind of decide what you're going to do, decide whether you're going to, you know, step left or right or things of that sort. While Steve, it seems like he's more of a defensive character, and in my experience... That is the better way to play. I mean, in general, it's better to turtle overall. So, you know, if he's stronger in that department, you know, he kind of seems like a better character to me. And I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts? We talk about this almost every time we see each other now. Every time we see each other, you're like, you know, Steve versus Bob. What's the better character overall? I mean, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this matchup in terms of who's a better character?
You know, Steve's like really strong at keep out. You know, I think that's his main aspect where he really shines. You know, he has back one, which is really hard to whiff punish because his flicker safety is so much better now.
Yeah,
back one's really good. You can't really duck it in his face and try to get a launcher. You can only get like you squeeze like a while standing 11 or 12 frame move.
Yeah, that is bullshit.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Shano says that that's a whiff stun. Whiff advantage. it's whiff stun.
You whiff it and then they have a electric animation.
Yeah, he has a third slot for his frame data.
Yeah, I mean, his keep out game is really strong. But I feel Bob is more well-rounded because, you know, he has a counter hit 4 as well. I mean, he has his counter forward a solid damage. He has a down forward too, which has amazing like high crush properties as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has a mid and a high that keeps out pretty well. He also has a hit confirmable headbutt that's just ridiculous damage for
us. Yeah, that one always gets brought up in the Bob discussions.
Yeah, it's a really good move. I mean, even that and the thing about Steve that kind of frustrates me is that his whiff punishers is kind of weak. I mean, Sonic Fang is only 26 damage, and forward 4-2, and then into another forward 4-2 with grounded hits being scaled down to 100%, whereas standing hits to 120 mm-hmm. is even weaker than like Bob doing a headbutt. So
really, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's weaker than that, so I'm not liking that.
So you feel like Steve doesn't have very good whiff punishers. He can't do any kind of launchers or anything from range one or two.
He could from like two or three. Like, just so people know what we're talking about when we say ranges, is that when we say range one, it basically just means like one character distance apart from
right.
the other character. So when we're saying like range three, it's like about three characters distances apart. So like Steve's, you know how Steve has the uppercut now, right? His Shoryuken?
Right.
Yeah, that thing has ridiculous range, but then the only problem with that move is that there's so many button inputs and directions I have to press just to get to one move.
Well, how do you do it?
Obviously, it's coming from peekaboo, and then the only way to get into peekaboo from standing, other than doing it from a move, would be forward 3+4.
Okay.
So I already usually when I'm playing with Steve and I'm really looking for a big whiff from like that range, I already have one finger on one of the kick buttons. Like usually it's on a 3. And then I press forward 4 while I'm holding 3. So I'm already buffering a forward 3+4.
Okay.
And then I will do up 2 or up forward 2 because up 2 and up forward 2 gives you the same move. So that's, you know, a lot of buttons and a lot of inputs just to get...
How many frames does that come out on, including input?
I don't know how... Like, that's the thing I would have tested if we had a record function by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, that's very disappointing. But... the move itself comes out in 16 frames and tack on about like 5 frames or so for going into the stance. Yeah,
sounds like at least. That sounds like
20 something frames. So
yeah, that sounds like you need a big ass whiff to get that.
Or like you have to be really psychic.
Yeah, really. So yeah, okay. So that's one thing that's frustrating you with Steve. Now
yeah.
what about Bob?
With Bob, he has ridiculous whiff punishers, you know, headbutts safe, like double, you know, there's like a double safety behind his headbutt because you're confirming a whiff first of all, and the second part is you get to hit confirm the second hit just to be double safe, you know.
Yeah,
it's kind of like how I was saying earlier, like killing two birds with one stone again.
Exactly. Yeah, I hear you.
And then he has headbutt for decent damage, solid damage, 49 damage. He also has crouch dash 1, and we saw how Fab was using it super effectively at a
Okay. I don't want to suck that guy's dick too hard, but that was crazy, dude. That was some amazing reflex on that crouch dash 1.
Yeah, I mean, crouch dash 1, the range it has and the damage afterwards, it's like not very many characters get 80 damage in the open without it, like,
yeah,
or something. And Bob gets like 80 damage off that move, so.
Yeah, that is a good point. Okay, so he has the whiff punishers, but Steve has the keep out, you're saying.
Yeah. So it's, but then the thing is about Bob is that he also has decent keep out too. So,
okay, so then that means that at this point, just from listening from here, it sounds like you're saying Bob's pulling ahead in terms of being a better character overall.
Yeah, he's a lot more well rounded. So,
okay, I see. Okay, so that makes sense. And so that then you, in your top five, you put Bob at, you said around.
Like
fourth,
four?
Or fifth?
Yeah, fourth or
okay,
yeah,
fourth best character in the game. And then you were saying Lee is about fifth place. Would you say anyone's really close to Lee in the top five, or maybe tied with Lee?
Oh man, I even forgot. There's Brian. Which
yeah,
is
that's what I'm saying. I don't know if Lee is better than Brian. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I guess I'll put Brian in number five or something then.
Yeah, let's talk about that, dude. I've been listening to all your podcasts, and you haven't really gotten too into Brian yet. So let's talk about Brian. That character is really unique and definitely deserves to be talked about, I think. What is good about that douchebag character?
All right, so, like, where do we even start, man? I mean, he has a counter at 4 that does ridiculous damage. I mean, I'll call it the Naps combo just because Naps hits it every time. I'm pretty sure he made it up too. So, you know, counter 4, dash, jab, back 3, cancel, jab, 4-4-4, and then go into Oki or, you know, just finish the combo. That's already really solid damage. And the thing about Brian is that his Oki, like, even in the open or at the wall, is just ridiculous because he's a really unique character because he has an unblockable taunt.
Absolutely. That's what I was waiting for. Let's get into that shit. Go ahead.
All right. So, because... if you end the combo with bind or bound or whatever you call it, bind and then up forward 3, you're left in this really messed up situation where If you don't tech roll, Brian could dash up, down back two, and it'll refloat you for a reset juggle, resetting the counter, juggle counter, so every hit doesn't send you as far, so he still gets a full, you know, combo afterwards.
But he's not allowed to bind in this situation, is he?
No, like, even resets, you don't get another bind, so.
Okay, so that's the option if you do not tech roll. What happens if you tech roll?
If you do tech roll, and the Brian player just happens to be a jerk and has taunt forward back two in his arsenal, you're looking at another launcher situation again. So
yeah.
If you tech roll, Brian can dash and taunt, and then right at the recovery of your tech roll, his taunt hits you, and then he gets a free jet upper.
So it's completely unavoidable if you tech roll.
No, like, unavoidable. Unless
yeah.
he messes up. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, if done perfectly, this is, I mean, a really unique situation. So in open ground with no wall, Brian has a tech roll catch, which is going to do a completely rejuggle situation.
And it's going to be the same situation all over again.
Yeah, exactly. If you're on an infinite stage, by that time, normally you'd be by the wall, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not an infinite stage, I mean. And then so if you decide not to tech roll, you get carried even further anyway. Did I catch this correctly?
If you don't tech roll, yeah, you get a reset combo. So he gets another full combo as if he just launched you right now. Like,
yeah, that's pretty out of control. Now, talk about his wall game a little bit.
All right, like, basically Brian, like, where he really shines is at the wall just because of his taunt back four.
Uh-huh.
His back four, you know, his taunt is 28 frames, gives plus 16 on hit or block because it's unblockable.
Right.
And then his back four is exactly 16 frames. So this is where we would use the term just frame. So it's like a just frame link, I guess you could say, taunt into the back four. The thing about back four that's really messed up is that it gives plus 15 on hit.
Okay.
So you get a free jet upper or a forward 4-2 that wall splats and that'll do over half life. And then he gets a reset. Like, you know, he gets an Oki situation again, kind of like how we explained in the open. Except he doesn't really have a juggle reset. He could just hit you on the ground. But if you tech roll, he has that same taunt situation again and then taunt back four and then re-wall splat. And by the time that happens, you're already dead. So
yeah, it does a ton of damage. So, I mean, your defensive option here is either tech roll, and this is assuming the Brian player is well-versed in taunt cancel stuff. You either tech roll and you get the shit kicked out of you. I mean, the round's over. Or you don't tech roll, and you have to eat a couple hits on the ground just to be able to stand up again. Am I right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, that in my eyes, that is a really unique situation in Tekken, and that character definitely deserves to be at least in contention for top five. Because
yeah, it's not even that, though, because, like, I mean, the taunt stuff is amazing, but it's not even, like, that's all he has. He has a soccer kick, which has retarded range.
Yeah, and can be hard to punish, right? Even
yeah.
though minus 12.
It's minus 12, but a lot of characters, you know, like Steve, for example, he could almost never punish it at max range or even mid-range a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because his jabs just don't have enough range to punish
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And what about bullshit orbital heal, dude? That move is out of control.
Yeah, orbital heal as well. It clips, like, your fingertips when you stick out a jab
yeah.
a lot of times. So that, and then it's also a really good crush move, and it's like minus 6 or something, so it's like super safe.
Yeah, really good.
That move's really good. And he also has that new soccer kick low that does like pretty solid damage for a low.
Yeah, he has a lot of good lows. I mean, he has decent throws. I believe, which one of his throws is it where he can do a sit jab to float you for Okizemi?
That's his two jab, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got good Oki off his throws. I mean, solid lows that most of them are very hard to see, if not unseeable. And they're only minus 12, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think his down four is only minus 11.
Okay.
Or maybe it's 12. It's 11 or 12. It doesn't really matter unless you're dragging off player, so.
Yeah, which I am. So I want you to tell me that.
I think
what about the down back 3? Is that the other low
yeah.
you got? The one from T5?
Yeah, I think. I don't remember what. I think it's 11 or 13. I don't remember. But
I think that one's at least 12. Because I know
okay,
I get
yeah, 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 yeah. That's 12. That's 12. That's exactly 12. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his lows are relatively safe in a game where lows are usually pretty unsafe, so. I mean, and if you include Orbital Heel and all the other shit he's got, you know, he's a fearsome character.
Yeah, even his down forward one, you could just stick that out. If you see it hit, you could delay it for days and then finish the string if it hit.
Yeah, really, really solid. I'm getting frustrated just thinking about that character right now. But, yeah, and Jet Upper being a 14-frame launcher, that's pretty good, too.
Yeah, and he has a counter at four that we talked about. A 1-2, his 1-2 series, like 1-2-1 and 1-2-4 is all at NCC. 1-2-4 wall splats as well. He has a 3+4 that reaches like half screen and counter hit launches.
Yeah, good tracking overall as well, right?
Yeah, his forward-forward-four, you know, it's a ridiculous move. It was basically already a homing move in previous games. But now they officially made it a homing move and a bind move, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the mock kick, right?
Yeah, the mock kick.
And if I recall correctly, you recover in crouch when you block that.
Yeah, you do. And it's only minus 10, so a lot of characters only get a crouch jab. So.
Yeah. So Lee can punish that, right?
Yeah, Lee can punish that with
Lost Any Shit, that is crazy. I did not know that about Lee. Wow. That's good to know. That does boost him up in, you know, as a character overall. That's really good.
That's definitely good.
Huh. Okay. Okay, so now we talked about Lars, Steve, Bob, Lee, and
Brian.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any other characters you feel like are worth mentioning?
Lily, maybe? Maybe we could talk about Lily?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that shithead. Okay, what's good about this bitch?
Oh, man, like we said, she already has one of the best sidesteps in the game. But then the thing about this character is that her crouch dash goes under everything.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't talk about this character. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, her crouch dash, like, you're a Dragunov player, so you already know. Dragunov doesn't have very many options like we talked about before.
Yeah.
And a lot of characters don't either. They're really, like, limited just because crouch dash 1-2, I mean, it's minus 14. It has a small window for a hit confirm, but, you know, it's solid. You know, it goes under everything, so... That by itself is like almost like a safe, like it almost makes it like a safe Lars up forward three, in my opinion.
Yeah, kind of. It's comparable. I mean, it does go under many of those mids, but I mean, she has her mix up of forward-forward-four and forward-forward-three. I think is worth mentioning.
Forward-forward-four. I mean, I don't think there's any low in this game where it's only minus 13 and does 27 points of damage.
Yeah, single hit.
Yep. And it's, you know, It used to be plus 5. It's only plus 2 now. But, you know, that's still good enough. She's still at an advantage, so.
Exactly, yeah. A lot of the lows in this game leave you at minus. So, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. Also, it low crushes, like, for a few frames, and it moves forward, and she's completely standing vertical the whole time. So it's very hard to see it. I mean, it's a really hard low to see.
I don't think it's seeable. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, if you want to start ducking, go ahead. Then she starts going for a forward, forward, three, and you lose half your life.
Yeah, exactly. Another forward, forward motion, and it's mid and safe. Am I right?
It's safe, exactly.
Completely safe. Also jumps a little bit and leads to a full combo. So, yeah. Anything else with her you think is worth mentioning?
You know, of course, Matterhorn and Down Bad 4 going under mids as well. It's kind of like her crotch dash. So, that and her, she has the best hop kick in the game. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You know, the thing is, the reason I think that character and Lars are really unique is because those characters kind of don't follow the rules of this game. You know, there's rules in the game.
You
mean
you can't crush a mid.
Just the basics. You know, if you can't go under a mid. Because that's what it's there for. The mids are in the game, unlike in Capcom games, to keep you from blocking low. So, I mean, if there's going to be characters that don't follow these rules and they just break the rules and go under the mids, they deserve unique recognition as solid characters.
Yeah.
So that's why I think these characters are really unique. Not to mention Lars having an exceptionally large backdash and then Lily having... exceptionally
large size.
So yeah, those characters are very unique.
I mean, also the big thing is that big thing that they changed is her 2-4. It's a natural combo now and a wall splats. Even if you're at range 3 away from the wall, it's still wall splats and she still gets a dash up down forward 3 into a full combo.
similar to Lars as well, right? His is, what's the command for his?
424.
Okay, is his 10 or 12?
His is 12.
Okay, so Lily's is stronger.
Kind of. I mean, Lars kind of has the range, while Lily's has the speed, I guess you could say.
I see. Okay, so it's a toss-up. Yeah, I mean, those characters are solid. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you about that. Everybody needs to study, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, study.
Dude.
All right, just, man, so go ahead. What were you going to say?
I mean, I was just going to tell everybody, you know, just work on your fundamentals. I mean, I can't, you know, emphasize this enough. New players that are trying to, you know, gun for my throat or, you know, whatever, like, oh. I won't mention any names because I might get bad karma later on, but...
Go ahead.
But, yeah, I mean... If you can't break throws and you're playing in a tournament, and I know that, I'm going to just throw you ridiculously. I don't really care. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really care if I'm playing cheap.
Exactly.
You can't break throws,
no,
it's not my fault, you know?
I'm with you on that one. We're not samurais. We don't have any honor. We're going to do whatever the fuck it takes to get that W. So it doesn't matter what's going to happen. We don't care. And that's the right mentality to have. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, especially because I've been playing at Insomniatex with you a lot more lately. I mean, you're just telling me, like, Lars, fuck it. Just up 4-3. Don't really care, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're a very by-the-book kind of player. You work with numbers, and you're very conservative. And I think that sometimes you just got to rotten bananas that shit and just do it. Just throw it out. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised. In situations where you really don't think shit like that will work, man, you will get the W, you know? Mm-hmm. You just sometimes got to break the rules, just
yes,
like Lars does and Lily does. They don't listen to practice mode counters and mids and highs and shit. You got to break those rules, too.
Yeah, just random ultra sometimes. Got to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to do
see it.
It.
Yeah, so anyway, to sort of wrap things up, is there anything else you want to just talk about or mention to our listeners?
Yeah, like I said, work on fundamentals. And another thing I want to bring up is just attend tournaments, man. I mean, just trying to get people to come out to tournaments is like the hardest thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you really get all your experience, and playing casual or playing online and that shenanigans, it's not going to get you better. So stop playing online, start playing real players, seek out better players in your area.
Yeah, I completely agree. Sometimes, you know, when people bitch about, oh, I'm not going to spend $5 because, oh, I'm just going to lose, you're not spending $5 to try and get that money in the pot. What you're doing is you're paying $5 to get tournament experience, and you're going to keep doing that, and eventually it's going to pay off. I agree.
Yep, definitely.
All right, man. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Be sure to, I don't even know what to say for your outro, be sure to check out iamtekken.com for future podcasts and crazy videos and all that shit. And thanks everyone for listening, and thanks for being on the Electric Armenian Underwater West Coast Tekken Hour, Mike. And go ahead and talk to you later, buddy.